Hallelujah. How's everybody today?
Blessed and highly favored.
Confession brings possession, and what you speak is what you eat. Yeah. Whew. Lift your hands to heaven and get a drink. Lord, continue to fill us to where it's no longer we but you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace, and let it fall on every face, so that his face would shine upon us. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I acknowledge the presence of God. You know, we're going to take an offering a little bit later. It's just really in my spirit, in the area that we have talked about acknowledging the presence of God in certain things, but we haven't, in other words, acknowledging God's presence. Why do we acknowledge God's presence? He says, because if you acknowledge me, I'll acknowledge you. You know, that's one of the things that separate us from the world. There's a difference, because so many people acknowledge the presence of evil and not the presence of God. And you're going to acknowledge one of three presences: the presence of God, the presence of evil, or your presence. And in everyday life and situation and every decision that you make and everything you do, the presence of evil will promote bondage, the presence of yourself will promote pride, and the presence of God will promote freedom. There's a difference. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. The Word tells us that God is spirit. In other words, God is presence. Without his presence, there is no existence. You and I cannot exist without his presence. There are three presences of God noted in the Word of God in the area of the tabernacle. There is the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. Those are the areas of three presences of God. All God's presence is eternal. But how much you want of his presence is how much you acknowledge of his presence. The less presence of God in your life, the more opportunity the enemy has access to you. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The more he can manipulate us. Amen? And one of the things that must be established in our life, again, is this simplicity. And this is simple. It's very simple. We acknowledge the presence of the Lord. I didn't say you had to feel the presence of the Lord. I didn't say you had to see the presence of the Lord. You must acknowledge the presence of the Lord. Whether you feel, no matter what, even in your circumstances, even when you're attacked by the enemy, I'm telling you, if you'll acknowledge the presence of God, he begins to show up. But we get so caught up in self, so caught up in our presence and how we feel and how we think and what people think and all of these other things, that we begin to negate the acknowledgement of God's presence, which is the most important thing in our life, because that's where we came from. And the more you acknowledge the presence of God, the more you're going to feel at home. You know, one of the greatest fears, I believe, that's in individuals is the fear to change. The fear of the unexpected. The fear of the unknown. People become very complacent, compromising, and comfortable in how they feel. Some people can be in the presence of evil and still feel comfortable. You know, if you don't know the presence of God, and the only thing you know is the presence of evil, aren't you comfortable? You know, it's almost like a battered person, a person that's being abused. Sometimes they don't even realize that there's freedom. They just think this is the way it is. So they just expect it. But they live in fear because they are afraid to change. And this is where the enemy, the presence of evil, grips an individual with fear. Fear. See, for me and you, we must always be willing to change. We are changing more and more into his image and likeness. If we're not willing to change, he doesn't force it to us. There must be a desire. And when a desire is taking place, there's a asking. Lord, I want to be more like you. Lord, I want to know you. You know, if you stop and think about it, when's the last time you asked him that? I really want to know you. I want to be like you. I want to live in your presence. You know, there are times when you get to a point where you know what? I'm just ready to go home. I'm just ready to go home. But people don't know what God's presence really is, are not ready to go home. They fear death because they don't know. And one of the things that the Lord is always desiring to do is try to bring you into an experience with his presence. And let me share something with you. That one-time experience is a beginning. It's not the end. There must be multiple experiences of God in a believer's life to maintain the presence of God. That's the only way you stay thirsty and hungry. The word says, thirst and hunger for his righteousness, and he will fill you. Without experiencing the presence of God, the only thing we experience is the presence of self and evil. And we get comfortable with it. We put up with it. And as believers, we should not do that. There's a difference in the presence of God and in the presence of evil. Again, one is freedom. One is joy. So I share with you this morning by the Spirit of the Lord and a desire that he not only wants you in his presence, but to not only be in his presence, but to live in his presence. But the first thing that must always be established is to acknowledge his presence. You know, last week we talked about, during worship, one of the things, the grieve of the Spirit. I felt so much grief of the Spirit, he said, because they acknowledge intellect instead of my presence. And I found myself weeping because I felt the sorrow of the Lord. He said, they acknowledge my word more than my presence. You know, the word of God is knowledge. The purpose of the word of God is to acknowledge his presence. His word tells us, when we read his word, we should desire to be in his presence. It is food to us because his presence feeds us. And again, without his presence, you and I are nothing. Everything in his word, it shows about how individuals lived by acknowledging the presence of God or rejecting the presence of God. Look at what's going on in the world today. There is such a tremendous battle. You know, the word tells us that darkness cannot comprehend the presence of God. It cannot comprehend. Look at, in the presence of God, there's another language. In the presence of God, there's another culture. In the presence of God, there's another way of living, another way of thinking. I was sharing with somebody the other day because they were boasting about family, 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 family. I was about to throw up. I said, you know, the difference between me and you is you live for your family and I live for the Lord. I do not live for my family. My family is a blessing. I live for the Lord. Not my family. The word tells us that anyone who's not willing to hate his mother, sister, brother, family, and everything is not worthy of being a disciple of his. That means we live for him. My family is a blessing to me. It doesn't mean I don't love them. It doesn't mean I won't do anything to protect them. And it doesn't mean I won't die for them. But I live for the Lord. And this is why. Because we acknowledge his presence. When you acknowledge his presence, there isn't anything else that you want to live for. And this is what separates us from the world. Because there's a lot of people that have a lot of knowledge of God. And they boast about how much they preach and how much they teach and what they do for God. But the boasting ought to be in his presence. His presence. He gets the glory. Amen? He gets the glory. See, if you don't acknowledge his presence, he doesn't get the glory. Everything is about him. Everything. Would you grab your swords this morning and to turn to Proverbs 3. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Acknowledging his presence. Again, so many people are waiting to feel his presence before acknowledging his presence. I'm telling you, if you'll acknowledge his presence before you feel it, his presence will come. Because you and I used to live in a life of feeling. We don't live that way no more. We live in a life of truth. We no longer live by how we feel. We live by truth. In Proverbs chapter 3, is everybody there? See, because when you acknowledge his presence, you sense his presence. You change in his presence. We change in his presence. We see what he wants us to see. But see, you can see, he says, many come and worship me, but their heart is far from me. In other words, they come to worship, but they really don't want his presence. They do the form. But I'm telling you, when you have a desire that wants his presence, he will not deny us. He won't. in Proverbs 3 and verse 1. Let's speak this together, please. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God. In other words, don't forget the law and commands, long life, peace, mercy and truth. Don't forget these things. Listen, you will forget those things without the presence of God. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And what? Lean not on your own understanding. In what? All of your ways. Not some. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. In all of your ways, in all of your ways, everything you do and every day, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You know why people make wrong decisions? You know why they drift? Because they don't acknowledge the Lord. They don't acknowledge his presence. Again, there's many people who can quote scriptures and still live in sin. Because they're not acknowledging the presence of God. I'm telling you, when Jesus shows up, he exposes everything, doesn't he? When the presence of God shows up, he exposes. He convicts. He chastens. He shows you exactly what's what. And without God, and listen, you can reject, reject, and reject. You can justify, justify, and justify. You can run, 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 and run. But you can never run from the presence of God, no matter what you do. You can never hide. Never. He sees all, knows all, and he knows you and I better than we know ourselves. Amen? In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Look at verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Let me share with you what God's presence also brings. When you acknowledge your presence, he brings fear. And this fear is reverence, honor, and respect. Reverence, honor, and respect. You know that song that we just sang about face down, what does he say? I'm going to be very careful in how I step. Because he acknowledges the presence of God. He carries the fear of the Lord. I'm going to say something very strange. It's a shame that when believers reject the fear of the Lord, when they no longer acknowledge God's presence, fear of the Lord is no longer there. And then they do say things that are fulfilling to the presence of self, with self-justification, self-reasoning, and self-promotion, not acknowledging the presence of God, who is the eternal creator, who the one we serve, and where we came from, and who we're going to stand before. To acknowledge his presence is to acknowledge him. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be what? Health to your flesh and what? Strength to your bones. Hallelujah. Honor the Lord with your possessions. In other words, acknowledge him when you are blessed with possessions. Give him the glory. Why? Because you're acknowledging his presence. And with the first fruits of all of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Again, we are acknowledging the presence of the Lord. Not by how you feel or how you think. You make that choice. You have the power to choose every morning when you get up. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Don't say good morning, caffeine. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Don't say good morning, spark. Say good morning, Holy Spirit. Don't say good morning, honey. Say good morning, Holy Spirit. If you'll acknowledge him first in everything you do, there's a life difference. Acknowledging his presence. Is everybody okay? Departing from evil. Well, let me tell you. Departing from evil, you're going to either... Why? Because if you're carrying the fear of the Lord, you're going to depart from evil, aren't you? If you're acknowledging the presence of God, you'll have the fear of the Lord. If you're not acknowledging the presence of God, you won't have the fear of the Lord. You know, there is a difference, and I'm going to share with you, and many people can probably testify this. Do you know that the difference is, you know, when we come in and worship together, isn't there a difference? I mean, there's a difference between you trying to get in yourself sometimes. Not that you're not acknowledging the presence, but there's a difference when we get together, man. It's like, bam! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! There is a difference when we gather together in the presence of God. You get sucked in to the presence of God, and you can't help but acknowledge his presence. You can't help it. That's the beauty of gathering together. That's why he says don't forsake assembly. Why? So he can be acknowledged. Why do you think he did the seven feasts of the Lord? So that he would be acknowledged seven times a year. And every Sabbath, so that he would be acknowledged. That's all he was doing, is asking to be acknowledged. And by acknowledging his presence, we change. So when we acknowledge his presence, then we begin to worship his presence. You begin to reverence his presence. You realize that his presence is holy. You realize his presence is true. There's a sense of his presence that you can't put in words. Urahashira mokoso. That's all I know. In his presence, there's such a difference. There isn't anything fulfilling than the presence of God. Instantly, you are fulfilled. Instantly, all the things that you were concerned about are melted away. Instantly, your debts are paid, because you know why? You don't care. And when you're in God's presence, he's doing something. You know why? Because you allowed him to take him out of your presence and the presence of evil. He takes you out with one arm, and he slaps the devil around with the other. And he begins to exchange and make provision and set things up. Why? You're just hanging with him. And you're all goo-goo gaga. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Man, I can't believe how much I needed your presence today. He says, I know you needed my presence badly today. Psalm 103. I pray everybody's windows are up. Psalm 103. Let's read it together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. So when you bless the Lord, are you acknowledging his presence? Yes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his. So there's benefits in his presence, isn't there? Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals your diseases. Hello. So in his presence is healing, isn't it? Amen. He redeems your life from destruction. Why? Because you acknowledge his presence, so you're exchanging the presence of evil and the presence of yourself for his presence, and you're rescued from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's his presence. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. Man, let me tell you something. Your mouth changes. Your mouth changes. You are sensitive of what you say. Why? Because you know that you're going to tread differently. Because you don't want to grieve his presence. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Well, yeah, it's renewed like the eagle. Why? Because he says, look at, I'm going to give you long life, right? So your youth will be renewed like the eagle. So you will live longer by living in God's presence. But it takes, first of all, to acknowledge his presence. That's why you ask him, Lord, let your manifested favor and presence go before me today. He will walks in the Spirit, let him also live in the Spirit. That's his presence, isn't it? Acknowledging his presence. In Psalm 16, this is what separates a Spirit-filled believer from a carnal believer. The carnal believer knows knowledge. The Spirit-filled believer knows his presence. There's a difference. I'll never forget, after my visitation from the Lord, totally healed, freed, filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit was taking me by the hand and bringing me places. And he brought me to a church that was in a drug-infested area. And I said, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to go talk to that pastor in there. He said, tell him you want to do an outreach and you're looking for places to bring people. And I went in there, and the man said to me, how long have you been saved and so forth, you know. He went down his religious checklist. And I shared with him what had happened with me. And, of course, he really didn't believe that. He didn't believe that people can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, didn't believe in tongues, he didn't believe in anything. Okay, let's put that aside. What about the souls? And there's drug-infested people all even around their church. And I said, it's been on my heart to come out here and just do a worship service to get people in God's presence. He said, we've been trying that for years. Anyways, he could quote the scriptures left and right. I was still a babe in Christ. The only thing I knew was the presence of God. He knew the word. So the Holy Spirit grabbed me by the hand and said, let's go. We walked out of that place, and I walked down the driveway, and I said, Lord, I don't understand. He says, he doesn't know me. He knows about me, but he doesn't know me. And I could feel the sorrow of the Lord, because the pastor knew the word of God, but he really didn't interpret it correctly, but what he knew was sufficient for himself, not presence. That's why we worship here. This is a teaching ministry. It's a presence ministry. We are a worshiping ministry because we want the presence of God more than anything in our life. Because without his presence, we're nothing. This isn't about tickles and goosebumps. It's about the anointing. It's the presence of the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty called the anointing. You know, I don't want to miss worship corporate because that I need it. I need to have his presence. I can't deal with just one time a week. I become too carnal. And if I become too carnal, I know many of you can become too carnal. Because we're all the same, aren't we? Amen? In his presence. Acknowledging his presence. In Psalm 16, in verse 7, I will what? Bless the Lord who has what? Given me... Okay, now wait. When you bless the Lord, are you acknowledging him? Yes. So you're acknowledging his presence, aren't you? I will acknowledge the presence of the Lord, and he will come and give me what? Counsel. My heart will also instruct me in the night seasons. Now, the Bible says that your heart is the most deceitful thing, right? But I'm telling you, in the presence of God, your heart changes. I have set the Lord what? Always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall what? Not be moved. Let me tell you, if you're acknowledging the presence of God, you won't be moved. No matter what comes across your path. Listen, the enemy always tries to come and bribe you. He tries to deceive you and bribe us in everything he can do. Tries to get us out of position. Verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. In other words, because you acknowledge the presence of God, you know what happens to your flesh? It becomes submissive because it's crucified. For you will not leave my soul in hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the what? Path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are what? Pleasures forevermore. And the joy of the Lord is our strength, isn't it? All because we acknowledge his presence. He will guide you by his presence. You will have joy. He will speak to you. He will show you. You know, vision and sight are very important. Many people do not have vision because they're not acknowledging the presence of God. Many people don't have revelation because they're not acknowledging the presence of God. And without enough revelation in your life, you cast off the restraints. And then those restraints are of the flesh. And then you let flesh rule over your soul because of the lack of revelation. In Psalm 31, in verse 19, Psalm 31, verse 19. Let's speak it together. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you. Now, wait a minute. For those who fear you. How do they get the fear of the Lord? By acknowledging the presence of God. And it says, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you. In the presence of the sons of men, you shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. From the plots of man, you shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Oh, hallelujah. He's going to hide you and protect you from man and the words of man and the words of evil in his presence by acknowledging his presence. Amen. In Psalm 51, so not only do we need to acknowledge the presence of the Lord, but we may need to protect the presence of the Lord in our life. Now you may think, well, God doesn't need any protecting. No, he doesn't. He doesn't need protection from anyone. But we are protecting the presence of God in our life because he does not dwell with evil. Amen? In Psalm 51 and verse 10, let's speak it together, please. Confirmation. He's knocking. Hallelujah. There'll be no tennis today. It'll be water polo. Psalm 51. In verse 10, would you read it with me, please? Create in me a what? A clean heart. O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your what? Your presence. Wow. So what was he saying? Lord, keep me clean so I can what? Maintain your presence. Keep me clean so I can maintain your presence. Don't let me touch something that's unclean. Don't let my words cause a grief to your presence. Do not cast me away from your presence, or do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Woohoo! In other words, he's acknowledging the presence of God, but he's realizing that I need to maintain the presence of God. And by maintaining the presence of God, I got to have a clean heart. I got to have a pure heart and clean hands. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Acts 17. Everything okay? Praise God. Nobody's wet, praise God. Hallelujah. It's hot in here, isn't it? Acts 17. Everybody there? Woohoo! Go ahead, get, lift your hands to heaven and get another drink, man. Just make sure the roof stays up there. Woohoo! Glory. Acts 17 and verse 22. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through the and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'The Unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we what? Live and move and have our being, as also some of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Repent." Remember, repentance doesn't free you. Repentance allows you access to be free. So when you ask God for forgiveness, you are washed by the blood so you can access freedom. Why? In his presence. Hallelujah. "Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." Hallelujah. So we see that many who reject his presence, judgment will come. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. This would be a good time to tell a story about something. Thank God we can edit. You know, we went to go visit mom in the hospital. Did any of you ever, when you were a kid or something, when it rained, did you ever put a, like a garbage bag on you or something? You know, I mean, I always seen, when we go some places, when I was a young kid, my mother never wanted her hairdo messed up. She'd grab a bag anywhere if it was, give me that bag, you know, and go out. So we were leaving the hospital, and I was reading this thing, and it said, umbrella bags. And I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, whoa. And my wife says, yeah, so people don't wipe out on the ground. I'm thinking, wipe out on the ground? What? On the tile. I'm thinking, why would they throw the bags on the floor? Tells you I get out a lot, you know. So I we're walking. I turn around and I say, "Wait a minute, this just doesn't make sense." I said, "How are the bags going to cause people to stumble or fall or wipe out on the floor?" I said, "They're so skinny," and I'm thinking, "How are the people going to fit in these things?" So we're walking out, and my wife's going, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, they're so skinny. How's anybody going to fit? Do they must fold up really big then?" And I'm dead serious. Because that's the only umbrella bag I knew. It's the one you put on. So my wife and my daughter fell out on the exit at the hospital laughing hysterically. And I really thought. Then she says, "You put the umbrella in the bag." I thought, well, that's dumb. What if you don't have an umbrella? And you're leaving and it's raining out and you didn't come with one. So I thought they had umbrella bags that you put on. That was my story of the rain. But I've been corrected. Now I know what they are, but I still think they need a bigger one. You know? An umbrella bag, you know, like a poncho. Anyways. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Hallelujah. In verse 3. I've not heard this. They've not let me go on this. I want you to know, my family. Every time we go somewhere, oh, there's an umbrella back here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's read it together. "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you a troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of God. Of the Lord, and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Now, you know, we are talking about acknowledging the presence of God. There's something that I must express to you about God's presence. God's presence is His love. It's His love, and there is no other love than the presence of God. That's why the Word tells us, do not love the world or the things in the world. Because if you love the things in the world, the love of the Father isn't there. Because the ruler of this earth is Satan, and his presence is here. So when you exchange the presence of the world, the presence of evil, for the presence of God, bondage begins. Again, we can justify and reason this and make excuses in every way that we want. But this is the truth. I see many people go back into bondage because of exchanging the presence of God for the presence of self and the presence of evil, the presence of the world, and never fulfill the will of God and the fullness that God has for them. And in that, they look for the love of the world because the presence of God is not in their life, and His presence is love. So they begin to lust instead of love, because the enemy knows how to suck people back into the world and bring them into bondage. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 18. Acts 3 verse 18. Acknowledging His presence. Hallelujah. Verse 18. It says, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of His prophets that Christ would suffer, He has thus fulfilled. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You know, without a refreshing, there's weariness. There's fatigue. There's discouragement. We need to be refreshed in the presence of God. And I can tell you, I know that you don't just get one drink of water a day. You would not be refreshed. Every day is a new day. We need to be refreshed as much as possible so that we can overcome weariness. Why? Because if we are refreshed in His presence, we're going to be able to overcome the world and the lust of it and its deception, aren't we? Amen? Refreshing removes weariness and oppression. It removes the presence of evil because the presence of God is there. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20 says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. In other words, acknowledging the Son of His presence, and the carrier of His presence is the Holy Spirit. So everybody got it? That's why it's vitally important about having fellowship with the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of God, acknowledging Him in everything that you and I do. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, teach me. Holy Spirit. In other words, acknowledging Him in everything that we do. In Revelation 14, you know, even when I play tennis, I acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Show me, bring to remembrance what I'm supposed to do. He shows me, I try to cooperate. But He'll show you. And then He's a great instructor. And He doesn't beat you up. You do. You see, the enemy, there's the Holy Spirit instructing you gently and lovingly, and there's the enemy calling you an idiot. You jerk. What's the matter with you? Can't you do that better? Amen? So, but you and I can discern those things, can't we? We end up calling ourselves all kinds of things, don't we? Revelation 14, verse 6. Let's speak it. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of the heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. Now, again, I want you to grab hold of this. It says, fear him, acknowledge him. Give him glory, acknowledge him. For the hour of judgment is coming. What's he trying to do? Get them out of what? Judgment. By acknowledging the presence of the Lord. And worship him who made the heavens and the earth. He was just trying to share with him. Remember, knowledge that's being released from the gospel is to acknowledge the Creator. It's to acknowledge the presence of God. And then when there's acknowledgement, there's cooperation, isn't there? See, you can acknowledge someone. Your house could be burned and they can come in and say, hey, you can say, hi. Look, come on this way. Hi. Come on, man, hurry up, get out of here. Hi. See, it takes cooperation to get out of fire, doesn't it? Or you're going to die in there. Then you're going to go home and go, Lord, what happened? Well, you didn't follow me out, man. Revelation 16. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 7. 16:7, and I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him who scorched men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent in what? Give him glory. They did not acknowledge him. You know, you can walk down your neighborhood and just seeing people who do not acknowledge the presence of God. Own family members who do not acknowledge the presence of God or give him glory, because they will not give glory to him without acknowledging his presence. 1 John 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Let me share something with you. Without the presence of God, you can't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Again, it's about acknowledging the presence of God, because if there's acknowledging the presence of God, you're in fellowship with his Spirit. If you're in fellowship with his Spirit, you're in fellowship with his presence. If you're in fellowship with his presence, you're in fellowship with Jesus, and you're in fellowship with the Father. And I'm going to close at Jude. Acknowledging the presence of God. That's what separates you from the world. You know, and I want to even speak to the younger kids. You know, you may be going places and whatever, and you're going to be tempted and on all kinds of things. What's going to separate you from the temptation is to acknowledge the presence of God. No, I don't follow that way. I acknowledge the presence of God. What you acknowledge is the presence of evil. I acknowledge the presence of God. That's what separates us. It's real simple. You don't have to get in an argument with anyone. I'm sorry, I'm not going that way. You acknowledge the presence of evil, and I acknowledge the presence of God. Ciao. Jude 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but on others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Again, begin to acknowledge the presence of the Lord. It will separate you from the world and from others. Amen. Praise God. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your word. And we ask, Lord, that the seed be imparted to each and every one of those who are here listening and to those who are listening or watching this broadcast. We ask, Lord, today that you would touch and change each and every one. I want to thank all the listeners today. And if you need any more teachings, please go to our resource called theeternallibrary.org. It's available for everyone and anyone. That's all you have to do is download anything you need with prayers, teachings, and video. So, Father, we give you all the glory and honor and praise, and we acknowledge your presence, and let us not acknowledge your presence all day long and forever and ever. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.